This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 184 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, March 18th, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by my West Coast partner in crime, Marcus Couch. Marcus, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing fantastic, Jeff. Glad to be back on another show. We've got a couple great guests here today on a topic that I'm sure everyone will enjoy.
Yes, we do. So we have a lot to pack into the show. We have a lot of news to talk about. We even have an iTunes review that we want to go over, but we have a very interesting interview to go over today. Our first guest is Stephen Cronin. Now, he is the quality team leader for ThemeForest and Code Canyon, works for Envato. Now, he's also a WordPress plugin developer, and he's been a consultant since 2007. Last but not least, he's an ex-government web manager and a WordCamp speaker. And we also have on the show Will Herring, who is a growth team officer for Envato. So first, we'll start off with Stephen. First of all, gentlemen, thank you both for being on the show. And you two are both in Australia, correct?
Yep, that's right. Thanks for having us.
No problem.
Glad to be here.
Awesome. So that's Stephen and that's Will. Of course, we'll find out, you know, through the voices who's who. So we'll start off with Stephen. Stephen, besides our bio, why don't you give us a little bit more info about who you are and how you got involved with WordPress?
I guess I've always dabbled with web development since about 1998, on and off. And at one point around 2007, I decided to get serious, and I thought I'd start a blog to blog what I was doing. And all of a sudden, my blog started to be about WordPress and hacking things. So that was around about the time when I bumped into you online. And I was living in China at that point. I moved back to Australia, ran government websites for a while, but last year I moved over to Envato to run the quality team, which is great because while I was in government, I didn't get to use, I didn't have anything to do with WordPress at all, whereas now a large portion of my day is dealing with issues around WordPress. So I'm loving it.
So in the government space, what did you use? Did you use an open source CMS or was it a proprietary system?
Yeah, I've actually got a WordCamp talk from about 3 or 4 years ago about it. We actually changed systems and we went with an open source PHP system that wasn't WordPress. And there's a lot of reasons for it, but the main reason was that we went out to tender and nobody was pitching WordPress. So that's, I think it's still a bit of an issue. We're getting a lot more traction with government these days, but I'm still not sure how many companies are out there looking for tenders to respond to. So.
Excellent. And Will, besides the short bio, now I found out you're a linebacker for the St. Louis Rams, although I don't think you're that Will Herring.
No, I'm definitely not that Will Herring. My background's a little bit different than Steven's. So right now I manage the content growth team at Envato, and I'm part of the business development team. And so my role as CGT manager is basically identifying the internal and external trends across all of Envato's marketplaces, and my team works with authors to create quality content around those trends. And my role on the BD team is really simple. Find and negotiate opportunities that increase the visibility of our authors' items. And as far as like my background in WordPress, I've been using WordPress since 2009. Not a theme developer, but I was I'd always have friends come to me and say, hey, I need a website. And I always, you know, I'd go and get a theme, customize it, put it up for them, and it was always WordPress. And faithful WordPress user, my family blog is actually a WordPress blog, and it's what I use almost every day.
Now, speaking of, you know, I know my listeners are familiar with ThemeForest. Perhaps we even speak about Code Canyon every now and then, but they're all under this large umbrella called Envato, and Envato is made up of a series of marketplaces. So sort of give my listeners a description of what Envato is and some of the things, the marketplaces that are underneath that umbrella.
Yeah, so In Vado, our mission is to help people learn and earn online. You've probably heard that several times. So we have the touch side where you can go and learn, you know, how to be a WordPress developer, learn to be designer, photography, all these different things. On the marketplace side, we have several marketplaces. If you want themes, you can go to ThemeForce, get a site template, get a WordPress theme. If you just need a quick landing page, then we have Unbounce and other items like that. We have Tumblr, Muse, all those items. On Code Canyon, that's where you can go and get code snippets, plugins. We also have Video Hive for After Effects templates, stock footage, Audio Jungle for your stock audio needs, Graphic River. We have vectors, logos, fonts, Photo Dune. I mean, it's photos. It's stock photos. 3D Ocean and Active Dimension. On 3D Ocean, you know, all of your needs as far as for 3D graphics, whether it be shaders, materials, things like that. And Active Dimension is actually, Active Dimension was our first marketplace, and it was a place for Flash. And we still have it. So we have
Now wait a minute. When you say we still have it, does that mean you're still selling Flash stuff?
People are still buying Flash stuff. Yes.
Oh, for crying out loud! Holy smokes! I don't know. We may have to end the show right there.
Well, you mentioned that one of your duties is to get new people developing in those platforms. Can you kind of describe how you approach them, what the pitch is? I mean, for me, I never would have assumed that. I would have thought that it was just a marketplace that everyone knew about, that they would just produce things and put it within the marketplace. What's your strategy, and how do you go about finding these developers?
Yeah, so, the first thing is, part of is the trend analysis. So that's part of, like, one of the services. One of the things we do is, we want our authors to be successful, and we have so much data, and we go through and we analyze. So we're analyzing like internal search data. We're analyzing the type of items that people are visiting but may not be purchasing. We're analyzing external data sources that I won't go too into to determine like what type of items are in demand, but we don't have that many of, right? And so we have a massive list of authors that we contact, and we offer them money. We say, hey, here's this opportunity. It may or may not work, and because it may not work, here's some money as an incentive to create, and hopefully it'll be a smash hit and you're going to make a ton of money.
Oh, that's one way to do it.
Yep. That's what we do. That's on the seed side. The other side is we have what's called Envato's Most Wanted. And that's those are public contests, and they're either based on a partnership that's happened or on trends that we've identified. So right now we have our part two of our micro niche. So we identified, hey, there's a huge need for items within ThemeForce that do one thing really well, right? And so we put $15,000 towards this contest, and it's for all of our item types, WordPress, Joomla, Drupal, site templates, and authors, you know, they have several weeks. I think this one is somewhere between 6 and 8 weeks to create an item. We give them the requirements. They submit it, and then at the end of the contest, my team, along with a few others in the company, review the submissions, and, you know, we have different prizes. So we have a best overall, or we may have like the best restaurant and things like that.
So in Vado, in the marketplaces, so a lot of things, but in general, can you give us sort of the scope on how many of the things you sell are WordPress based?
Can you clarify? So are you saying like,
well, I know ThemeForest is made up of a lot. I mean, it's made up of templates, but I know there's a lot of WordPress themes on there, and I know Code Canyon has a lot of WordPress plugins, and there's a lot of numbers that Envato has shared, but Envato has never really shared specific percentages of, out of all the things they sell, how much of it is WordPress-based. So I don't know if you have that number on hand or if you can give me a roundabout explanation as to how much impact, how many things you sell via the marketplaces are WordPress-specific.
Okay, so I don't have any numbers on hand of like what percentage of total sales are actually WordPress. But I'll just give you an example of like high volume, right? So, and this is public data. And so if you go to like Graphic River and you click on popular items, you'll see to the right our top author in February sold 9,900 items, right? This name's Seven Styles. If you go to WordPress and you click on popular items, you'll see the top author there sold 6,500 items. It makes sense that, you know, items like on Graphic River and our other marketplaces where the cost is lower, they're probably gonna represent a higher percentage of overall sales. So I think the thing is, like, ThemeForest is our biggest marketplace as far as like the traffic that comes there, but you have to understand our other marketplaces are also really successful. Audio Jungle does really well. Code Canyon also does well. Video Hive does really well. And we sell a lot of items across different product types, whether it be the After Effects templates, like I mentioned earlier, or photos. But there is no denying that WordPress is an important part of our marketplace.
Awesome. So, Steven, I don't envy your position at all at what you do at ThemeForest in Envato. You've sort of taken over Jave's position, which we've had him on the show several weeks ago, a few months ago. It was a great episode. But you're really in the middle of, you're in the thick of things, both in the WordPress community, representing Envato and ThemeForest, and working hand in hand with the people who sell things on ThemeForest. So, what are the things you're seeing? Some of the trends you're seeing in terms of theme authors and some of the popular themes being sold on ThemeForest.
Oh, that's a good question. I will say that I don't have exactly the same role as Jafe, but I do sort of jump into conversations in the WordPress community in the way that he might have in the past. There's just a lot of stuff going on. There's always a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff selling. I think we've seen a lot of people show interest in the more niche themes, though the multi-purpose themes still sell a lot. And there's lots of, complexity around. There's lots of issues that come up from time to time. And I guess you're right, I'm in the middle. The issues that come up within the Envato community are sometimes different or have a different view on them than the ones that come up in the wider WordPress community, although there is overlap as well. So there's a lot of the same issues coming up in both places.
So speaking of some of those issues, I'm just going to go right out and bring one up. So one of the things here, I'm in the nature of what I do for a living, I write about WordPress. I follow some what I consider influential people in the inner WordPress circle. So in essence, I'm in a bubble. And within this bubble, it's when ThemeForest comes up, it's sort of like this haunted house on the street that nobody wants to go into. You know, it's just this perception that ThemeForest is where you go to get badly coded themes or something that's not of stellar quality. You know, what's that like for you to constantly see that sort of bombardment of that perception sort of in the inner WordPress circle and try and combat against that? And what are some of the things going on within ThemeForest that maybe you have an active role in that you're doing to try and reverse that perception?
So I came into the role knowing it was going to be like that because, quite frankly, a few years back, I was in that inner bubble. So when all these issues came up in the past, I was in the same boat as most of the other people in the WordPress community. I did a talk once at a local meetup about things I found surprising in Envato. And one of the slides I did in that talk actually had Lego characters storming the castle with their pitchforks and things like that. And that's pretty much what the WordPress community does every so often. They pick up and they storm the castle and there's a controversy about ThemeForest or Envato. And I knew that coming in, and I'd been on the other side in the past. But before I came in, I'd seen a lot of the really good work they were doing to try and improve things. Because I do think it was, if you go back a few years, there definitely were a lot of issues. And look, we're still not perfect, but we're definitely trying to move in the right direction. We had the, as far as the WordPress side of things go, I'll focus on that. We had the new submission requirements about a year and a half ago, and we're supposed to have the next step of that, and that got delayed for a long time because a lot of other stuff came up around in the business that needed to take focus for a little while. But we're hoping to come back to that in the next well, I'd be silly to put an exact time frame on it yet because we haven't sorted out when, but this year. So hopefully sooner rather than later. But we'll come back and we'll revise the submission requirements. And I know there are some things that when we came out with the phase one of the submission requirements, we told everybody, hey, look, there's going to be the separation of functionality and themes. And functionality has to go into plugins, not into themes. And we do actively encourage people. So when people submit an item and we see functionality in the theme, we do go back and say to them, hey, can you please put it into a plugin? But it's not actually in the firm requirements yet. So
that's an interesting point, Stephen, because a lot of times the themes that I get, and this is probably a two-parter, but come bundled with specific plugins. And a lot of times there are problems with that because in the case of like Revolution Slider, where they had such a huge vulnerability, that's something that I inherently didn't like Revolution Slider, yet it still came with the themes that I bought. And still, unless I deleted the plugin entirely from the host, still had that vulnerability to it, whether it was activated or not. So how do you... Is there any kind of quality control that you're now putting in place that can prevent these sort of future occurrences from happening?
So there's lots of different parts to this. So the part we were talking about just before is functionality around custom post types and short codes and things like that needing to be in a plugin rather than a theme so that when you change theme, those things keep going. Bundling plugins is slightly different. We do, so in the long distance past, people would actually put functionality into the theme. They'd bake it into the theme, which is, pretty bad. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, if people are going to do that, we require them to use something like the TGM plugin activation class to install plugins, and that's what you're seeing there. Now, lots of people don't like the fact that there are plugins bundled, and it's mostly, or it came up after the RevSlider incident, and I've done a lot of thinking about this, and we also have another party internally that's working on what we're going to do to change things. But my own thoughts on this are that from a technical point of view, if a theme is requiring a plugin through TGM, it's actually the same as if you go and get that plugin and install it. It's installed as a plugin. Where it's different is if you're doing that with a plugin off WordPress.org, you can use TGM to require a plugin from there. You get automatic updates through the WordPress.org system. With premium plugins, so for example, a plugin from Code Canyon, you may or may not get the updates. And in RevSlider's case, it had automatic updates, but only if you'd bought a full version rather than a bundled version. So the issue there, I think the main issue is if we can work out a way so that all plugins could be automatically updated, the same as plugins from WordPress.org, then that actually fixes a lot of the problems that we saw with the RevSlider solution, the RevSlider incident. There's still the matter of the fact that it's telling you need to use RevSlider in the theme. And I guess that's back to the first issue of if you're creating a theme and you want to put a slider in, do you create your own slider? Do you use one that's already available? And I guess that's down to the choice of the theme author. If a theme author comes along and they decide we need a slider in this theme, instead of me building my own, it's going to be RevSlider, and that's what I'm going to tailor my theme around. I think that's fine. It's the same as somebody coming along and saying, this theme, I'm going to tailor this theme around WooCommerce, not EDD. And then that's, as long as that's up front when you buy the theme and you know that's the slider that's being used, I think that's probably valid. Following on from that, do you have to go and buy it, or is it bundled, is a separate issue. And there's different parts that I want to solve the technical part about automatic updates, but we're also looking at the bundling issue as a whole, about whether we can make changes there. So now I'm talking a lot. So do you have any questions about that?
We appreciate the answer. And I've even purchased themes that didn't use that particular plugin, but used other ones that didn't seem like the theme author may have notified the plugin author as far as that being bundled in there. And then when it came time to the upgrade or things like that, it just didn't happen. So I ended up having to buy the full version.
Yeah.
And
so
that seems kind of like a misleading in some sense.
Yeah,
you know?
that is the problem that came up with RevSlider, is that when plugins are sold through Code Canyon, you can buy a single license, which is what most people do, or you can buy an extended license, which is what theme authors do, so it costs mm-hmm. more. And then they can put that that plugin or bundle it with their theme. It's a different use case. But there's a disconnect there with the fact that in RevSlider's case, and in other ones as well, so they're not unique in that, but I'm focusing on them, to get automatic updates from them, you have to buy the single license, not buy a theme that has it through the extended license. Okay. So that means for you to get updates, the theme author needs to be on top of their game and making sure that they keep it up to date, which some theme authors do and some theme authors don't. So that's why we're looking at, well, A, we're looking at the bundling issue as a whole to see whether there are any changes there. But B, we're also looking at whether we're just going to require automatic updates. In the same way you get a plugin from WordPress.org, every plugin from WordPress.org has automatic updates there, you know, the one-click updates. So we're looking at whether we can do something like that as well. So it doesn't matter where you got it, you have access to that. But there's a huge amount of complexity around not so much the technical part of that, but all the other parts that go with that. So,
yeah, I mean, Code Canyon is so large now, it has so many plugins that it just seems like a no-brainer to me that you should be able to automatically update as if it's just like you would a plugin from the WordPress.org repository.
Yeah, I think that's where we're heading, although we're still midway through the conversations around that, and I can't guarantee that's where we'll go, but I think it's a no-brainer that that's what needs to happen.
Well, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, something has to happen where updates of a specific plugin that's bundled in a theme, whether it's RevSlider or something else, there has to be some sort of system in place where updates can be pushed out immediately to all affected customers instead of just a subset of those customers. The RevSlider thing was, boy, that was bad. That was that was on a scale of 1 to 10, that was about an 8. That was pretty bad.
It wasn't good. And of course, you know, WordPress.org do have that, as we've seen in the last week, they have that forced updates capability as well. So that's another thing that we're thinking about. So it's still a long way from actually happening, but we're thinking about it.
And that sort of dovetails into the listener submitted question we have, which I think we've touched on quite a bit here with our recent conversation, where we were asked, when will there be a more robust system for dealing with separation of themes and plugins on both ThemeForest and Code Canyon? I think we sort of touched on that.
Yeah, we have touched on it. And at the system level, we're looking into you know, more robust ways to deal with that. At the system level, there's a lot of complexity because there's lots of other parts that need to change. At the theme level, so we're looking at let me get my head straight around this. So theme level, we're basically looking at our requirements being updated to just make sure that everything, all the functionalities in plugins, and that we can find a path for those to get updates when we need to. At the system level, we're then looking at the whole bundling issue. So that's pretty much what we've been talking about.
Well, to get Will involved here, Will, you know, ThemeForest is one of the top, well, probably the top WordPress theme marketplace out there. And when I routinely see news and press releases of elite authors who have made $1 million or more, I seriously question if I'm in the right business or not. I almost want to sell everything, ditch everything, and start selling themes on ThemeForest. But what is that? How does that make you feel? Just overall, your take on elite ThemeForest authors being able to make a really good living just selling, even look like Advada, just selling one WordPress theme and able to make the type of living where you can build a dwelling to house your entire family.
Yeah, it feels really good. So you mentioned earlier before we started this conversation that Ben Chan is just really smart, right? I think, you know, when you look at his credentials, you could tell that he could probably have worked anywhere in Australia, but he chose Envato. And what I've noticed is that a lot of people have chosen Envato. They want to work here because the mission is to help people learn and earn online, right? So our job is to make people rich or for them to have additional income. And so when you ask me, how does it make me feel? Like, I go and I look at our power elites, I'm like, I want to see more. You know, I look at internal data about that shows me which authors are close, and I'm always excited for when they reach that milestone, and I want to see more authors reach that milestone. I want more people to, you know, be able to make money the way they want, to have the lifestyle they want. And so I love my job because it allows me to help people do that. And when I first came, my first week at Envato, Fuad, who he's Collis's father, and he sat down with me and he asked me, he said, you know, basically, why is this something you want? Why is this job something you wanted so bad? And I told him, like, my background, I'm Haitian American, and if anyone knows anything about Haiti, it's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, right? And I know at some point internet accessibility is going to be, you know, everyone's going to have access to the internet. And the fact that Envato's allowing people to learn, is helping people to learn for free and then giving them a marketplace to sell, I told him, I said, I see this company as a way for people in my mother's land to actually earn money that they wouldn't be able to otherwise, right? We're empowering people all across the globe to make money, and we're connecting, you know, talent in Malaysia to buyers in New York. And they're earning USD, which is a very, you know, strong currency. And as in, like, one example, Avada, you know, one of the founders there building a home to, you know, house his entire family. That's amazing. And so right now, part of my job in our company, we have several teams working on this. Each team has a different theme, but we're all analyzing data to find new opportunities within our community for our authors to earn. Like you said, we have, you know, tons of volume. ThemeForest is a high traffic site. We think there's more opportunities for our authors to earn more, and we look forward to seeing more authors reaching that power elite level this year.
And just to throw a number out there, for Envato's year in review, when you guys usually, the company publishes numbers and statistics and milestones they accomplished throughout the year, and at the end of 2014, the total amount that Envato paid out to its global community of marketplace authors and sellers was, of over 4 million members, was $224 million. That's a chunk of change, and that just keeps increasing year over year.
Yeah, it is increasing, and the goal isn't $250 million. I think Collis has made the goal very public that we want to pay out $1 billion to our community. And I mean, you know, we have that, and just remind everyone, that's not just ThemeForest, that's across all. We want, like, you know, Audio Jungle and Video Hive, these are marketplaces that are growing really fast and we're really proud of. And hopefully by the end of next year, you know, we will hit our next milestone on our way to that billion-dollar target.
Well, you're a quarter of the way there.
Yeah, I know, right? It's amazing.
You got three quarters left. And by the way, I watched a video of Kyle S. doing a presentation at an Australian conference on startups. And it was a fantastic video. Envato is a bootstrap company. He started off with Audio Den, which used to be, I think, Fox's Den or Fox Den, and started off very small. And he started off with one thing, ended up with a marketplace, and just grew it from there organically. And from then until now, it's been, I don't think he's accepted any VC cash or any outside funding. It's all been bootstrapped. And it was a hell of a story. And I encourage, well, I'll probably link it up in the show notes, but if anybody has a chance, definitely catch that video, because it just shows a man with a desire to come up with a marketplace where he thinks that he could really be, you know, it could really be helpful to a lot of people out there. And as it turns out, it sure was.
Yeah. And you know what? It's funny you bring that up, because I recently listened to an interview that that Josh Jensen did with Collis, and you guys could go to like joshspeaking.com and listen to it, and you'll realize that. If you look at what our mission is, and you look at how Collis was raised and the life that he had growing up, this is just an extension of that, right? So, like, I mean, many people could probably look at that mission of helping people to learn and earn online and just think, oh, that's whatever. Their goal is just to make money. But when you actually listen to his life, like his family moving to Papua New Guinea to help invest in the local community there, that his parents are educators, and that, you know, education is a big part of Envato's mission. And that there's a lot of pride in, I guess you'd say, the economic development and helping people earn money. Like, this isn't new. And I think, you know, I don't get to I interact with Collis every now and then. I mean, he's very busy. But when I was listening to the interview, I just was like, it just blew my mind. It's like, Envato is just a natural extension, I believe, of what his mission is, from his life, and to see, you know, what you can do being bootstrapped, it's just amazing. I've talked to several local entrepreneurs, and they said that because of the success Envato has had, they've decided, you know, maybe VC isn't something they should get right now. Maybe that's not something for everyone, right? But I find what they've been able to accomplish amazing, and then the fact that what we're doing has a real impact on the world, that makes my job fun.
Yeah, I can only imagine the valuation and the offers that Kyle's would get on Envato, considering their size. And you got the company keeps growing year after year, so you definitely haven't hit the tip of the iceberg yet. So, Marcus, I know you had a specific question you want to ask. You want to throw that out there?
I want to bring up something as far as an experience that I had that perhaps you can maybe give me your reactions on or things like that. I was building a directory site for a client, and I found a theme that was called Spot Finder on ThemeForest. And it worked out really well for the first 3 days. And then something happened. I think Google changed their map algorithm or something like that, where the theme no longer worked, and the person who developed the theme stopped supporting it. And then a few maybe weeks later, after 100 complaints or something like that, it was then shut down and locked. Now, as a person who is a developer on my side trying to get some client work done, that was just egg on my face in trusting and supporting a specific theme and product. And I ended up having to hold the bag on this one, and then go and lose all of the development work that I put into it, all of the time that I put into it, and then had to restart with a new theme. Shouldn't there be some sort of a credit policy or something like that when you guys shut something down like that? I mean, shouldn't I at least get some kind of, you know, not me specifically, but shouldn't the consumer get some sort of a ThemeForest credit in order to purchase an alternate theme that might work?
Well, okay, so there's different parts to that question. If you'd asked for a refund, you may have got one. We actually do give refunds in certain circumstances. You need to contact our help center Mm-hmm. You just go up to the help option up the top, and I think there's help center in there, and you can lodge a ticket and explain the situation. To me, it sounds like that theme author has done the wrong thing. Hopefully that will hurt their reputation in future, which will hopefully mean less people buy for them. There is a natural element where if authors are doing the wrong thing, then that comes back to them. So hopefully that will happen. If you really have bought something and it hasn't worked, you can ask for a refund. And in that case, although I don't actually process the refunds, that's not my team or anything to do with me, mm-hmm. From what you've said, I would think it's quite likely that you would have got a refund to, or a credit or something to go and buy a different thing. A lot of people don't know that. So try that. For anyone who experiences that, try that. At the end of the day, authors have the right to take their items off the marketplace. We are looking at, we're working on a support arrangement. So a while back we announced it, and it's changed a lot. I think it was put on hold for a little while because of the VAT issue, but it's coming back sometime soon. I believe, but don't quote me on this because this is not part of my team either, I believe that if you buy something, the authors will need to provide 6 months' worth of support. I believe they can opt out and choose not to provide support, but then it will be quite visible to you when you buy it that this theme is supported or not supported. And if they offer to provide support, I think they have to give 6 months from the time of purchase. Don't quote me on that because that's a different team, but there are moves around that to sort of improve the experience because that was one of the themes in 2014 of Envato is that we need to improve the support experience because we know that it was confusing people and people were getting a less than ideal experience.
And to be fair, I did find an alternate theme that worked wonderfully, you know. But and this brings me to my next question, which is, you know, sometimes it's difficult when you're looking at themes to garner what it's going to look like just from the screenshots. And I don't mean just the front end. I'm talking about the back end.
Yep.
You know, it's great to put a demo up there, but as we all know, you know, it's painstaking work to get something that functions as well as the demo straight out of the carton, you know.
Yep.
So is there any plans to create more of a front-end and back-end demo kind of experience for themes as we move forward in the case that there are in some other, you know, demos out there that you can actually log in as a guest user on the back-end and take a look at, and see what it's like to administer it?
Yeah, I don't think there's any specific plans right now, but I wouldn't say that it's never going to happen. I just think it's one of those things that right now, probably it hasn't been a priority. But you know, I'll mention that back at the office, and no promises, but who knows?
Okay.
And just a quick question for me, Stephen: is there any updates on? Now, about a year or two ago, there was a whole GPL kerfluffle that happened, where some people, there's a whole situation that happened, and the end result was that Catalyst allowed ThemeForest authors to be able to choose whether they wanted to license their themes 100% GPL or not. Since he initiated that choice where theme authors had the choice, there hasn't been really an easy way to find themes that have chosen to license their themes in that way. Do you know of any updates or any work that's been given on making it easier to find 100% GPL licensed themes on ThemeForest?
Yeah, I don't think we've got any plans at the moment. This has been asked before, and I think basically we've got a huge, huge, huge list of all the stuff that we need to do. And when you jump into the shoes of the average buyer pretty much doesn't care whether it's 100% GPL or split license. So it's one of those things that would be great to do. It's just there's a lot of other stuff like the support initiative and the VAT initiative that we've just finished, and there's a lot of other things which are just have a higher priority at this point in time.
Okay, that's fair.
So from my point of view, I'd love there to be a way to find it. But when you look at the bigger picture and what buyers actually need, and we're trying to give the buyers what they need, it's less of a priority for them. I do know that in the past I used to be able to use Google to search for it, but it seems to have stopped working.
Really?
Yeah, I used to be able to put the text that's used in quote marks, so the text that says this uses a GPL license.
You probably got the search string from a post I wrote about it on the tavern.
Yeah, well, I might have. But last time I tried it, it didn't actually work, so I'm not sure what's going on with Google there. It didn't return any results for that, so but there are definitely themes there that have that. So.
Okay. Well, I wanted to, having you guys on the air, I really appreciate you guys spending some time from down under on our show tonight. I did want to say that to Steven and to you, Will, that, you know, ThemeForest is in the inner circle, the inner WordPress community, seems to be the whipping boy for jokes, for insults, for a lot of things of that nature. There's a lot of people that say there's nothing but crap on ThemeForest, but it's a really bad idea to journalize ThemeForest so much, because there are some theme authors on there that really they just want to provide the most quality compatible type of theme there is. There's a lot of theme authors out there doing the right things and coding things beautifully. So it's unfair to generalize all ThemeForest authors as creating crap themes and bad products. So I just wanted to say that. And again, for all the hell that Avada and the top 10 selling themes on ThemeForest get about being so poorly coded, there has not been any audits or in-depth reviews of these themes that I am aware of that I have read on any other website that points out why these themes are so bad. It's all conjecture and sort of assumptions. And I'm hoping that at some time we have some audits of these themes to see if they back up the claims that the themes are so bad. But until then, the themes seem to be exactly what the consumer wants, or else they wouldn't be the top 10 selling themes on ThemeForest.
Yeah, my perspective is, now I'll give you my perspective, which is from the development and designer perspective. ThemeForest is the first place that I will send the client with a short list of 5 or 6 different themes that I've looked at that may fit the bill for, you know, fit exactly what their needs are. So to me, I appreciate it. And even though I've had a couple of issues from the consumer standpoint, it's still the go-to place for me when I have a client that has theme needs. So you get two sides of the coin with this interview, I guess.
Yeah. Marcus, your testimony right there is the same one that I've heard many times over from buyers that we've interviewed recently. Of, you know, some of them come here, they're always checking to see what the new items are. You know, they wish, like you, that there was a way for them to test the back end, right? And that's actually a request I've gotten several times. And it is something we're looking into at the moment. But a lot of them send their clients here with a list and say, pick one that you like, and they get it and they customize it. And when I've asked the buyers in the past that do this, why are you so transparent? And they said, well, one, I want my customers to know where the theme comes from. I don't want to just take credit for it. And the other part of it is they say that their client knows, because the client comes to them and they usually give them a quote and said, hey, if you want a custom theme, it's going to be this much. And the client says, I don't have that type of money, right? And what's the alternative? For them to go and use a different platform. And where we come in is we've helped make, I think, a lot of these platforms accessible to people who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford something custom. And I think that's probably had an impact on the growth that sometimes isn't, you know, considered.
Oh, I have no doubt that for the most part, and in some parts, I think that's why so many people inside the WordPress community have this, I don't want to say hatred, but this sense of wanting ThemeForest to do everything they can to make sure that theme authors and sellers are doing things the right way, because ThemeForest has become such an important springboard to so many people just getting involved with WordPress, brand new users. I would not be surprised if a lot of new users these days don't somehow come across ThemeForest and find a theme they like, purchase it, and install it on their site. So, you know, out of the gate, if they're using a theme that does everything the right way, which, of course, is still up for debate what is exactly the right way, but to the point where they're not worried about backwards compatibility or they're not worried about bundled themes, I think that's where a lot of the angst comes from, is that ThemeForest has become this really springboard into the WordPress ecosystem for so many users. And if they have a terrible experience upgrading themes or plugins or have security vulnerabilities with the theme or product they purchased from, you know, Code Canyon or ThemeForest, it really sets a bad precedent for the WordPress project overall.
Yeah, agree. Mm-hmm. You know what, Jeff? The thing there is, it's also in the best interest of us and for what our mission is, to make sure that these first-time users have a great experience, right? Because how many people do you know actually only have one website? I mean, I have 30 domains, multiple websites, right? And so if someone comes to ThemeForest and they have a bad experience, the chance of them coming back isn't that great. And, you know, that means less community revenue. So it's in our best interest, and it is something that we're actively looking into, making sure that, you know, we have products that provide the best experience, great security. And I know the community looks at it and says, you know, in the past, Envato has let us down, you know, sometimes, and we are working our best. We're doing our best to make sure that moving forward, you know, we're no longer just a place you go to get a theme, right? We're not just a standard theme shop. We're the place where you go and get the best themes, where you know that, hey, these things are well built, they're very secure, and they're also well designed, and they're going to provide a great experience for, you know, a developer like Marcus, or maybe someone new to WordPress like my aunt, you know, or my mother.
Now, if someone were to say ThemeForest is like the template monster of theme of WordPress, would you do you find that as a compliment, or would you rather be, you know, considered something else?
I think ThemeForest is a theme for us.
Yeah, let's say
that. Yeah. Thank
you, Paris. Yeah. What Steven said.
I do want to say that some of the things we've just been talking about there are different types of users, and I think there is a segment of users where ThemeForest is a good option, and that probably isn't the same segment that are listening to this podcast so much. So I think it's important to remember that we're not always the average user, as Will was saying, you know, something for his mum to use, etc. And I also, I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that in all of that, quality is actually very important to us. I haven't actually come out and said that up front. Will sort of said it there, but we have published submission requirements. We're looking to improve them. The whole issue about functionality and plugins, especially anything that's going to mean that you can't migrate your content to a different theme later on, it's very important to us. So all of that stuff really matters to us as well. As Will said, if somebody can't get the content out of one theme and they have a bad experience, they won't come back and buy another theme from us.
Right, and the issue of whether something should be bundled into a plugin or not, and that itself, that in and of itself is a slippery slope. Because there's no hard and fast line as to whether something should be in a plugin or should it be in the theme or should it be bundled. It's you and I, Stephen, have talked about this numerous times, and we can't come to a consensus as to where that line should be drawn.
Well, there are some things that are obvious, like custom post types, short codes and things like that, because if you change themes, custom post types won't appear on the front end of your site anymore. So content's gone from the front end of your site. It's still in the database, but that doesn't really matter. If you change themes and all of a sudden half your site disappears, that's really not a good experience for anyone. So I think there are certain things where it's obvious. There are other bits where it gets a little bit blurrier about what should be in a theme and what should be in a plugin. There's also a lot of complexity around whether if you're going to have custom post types, do you put that in your own custom post type plugin, or do you use an existing one off WordPress.org? And you get into all sorts of issues around if you're going to build a theme on top of WooCommerce, you can be pretty sure that WooCommerce is still going to be there in a year's time. If you're using a smaller plugin, then how do you know that, as a theme author, how do you know that that plugin is secure, is going to still be around, isn't going to disappear? So there's issues around, well, do theme authors write their own or do they use a third-party one? And there's a lot of complexity around that, which I think it's hard to come up with one hard and fast rule that is going to work in every case.
You know, the whole ThemeForest thing in the top 10 selling themes, it's quite the thing to look at, you know, via my perspective, because in the inner WordPress community, we have this thing about make and create and develop themes that solve a specific problem and do a really great job of showcasing your content with a minimalist type of style so that you get one slider, you don't need 20, or you have one theme, you don't have 20 different color styles. Yet, you look at Avada, which has been named the Swiss Army Knife of WordPress themes, and you look at some of the other top-selling WordPress themes that seem to have 3 or 4 different sliders and 5 different color themes and 60 different short codes or templates. What does that say to you that customers, just the market appears to want those type of themes are in demand on ThemeForest?
Yeah, it's market-driven. There are different segments of users, as we were talking about before, and some of them want different things. I definitely think that the most important thing is that the users are getting a good experience. Having X number of sliders may not provide that, so I think it's down then to the theme authors to create a better experience, perhaps market the benefits rather than market the functionality. But it's difficult because it's a market environment. It's market-driven. People buy things, certain things, so other people make certain things. We would like to sort of educate people in the right direction. I don't think we really want to get into the place where we're actually dictating you can only have one slider and a theme. We'd rather educate people about how it's easier to maintain your theme if you have less than a lot, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. So Will and Steven, I don't know who can answer this, but I know that as a seller on ThemeForest, you can't set the price. It's dictated sort of within this window that Envato allows for ThemeForest sellers. Is there any talk on I know recently those prices increased a little bit, but has there been any talk or decisions on whether to increase those prices anymore? And do you think at some point in the future we'll start to see $100 themes on ThemeForest?
Yeah, so I can take this question. So pricing is one of the services we provide. We actually have a team that is always looking in the pricing, researching. There's testing going on. One of the things you'll notice is we did recently raise the price, and we did the year before too, and prices... I can't tell you if prices will go up again this year, but I can tell you that there is a group of very smart people whose job is to identify the best price points for the items so that authors will make the most money. And if we want to be honest, it seems to be working. I mean, our authors are making a lot of money at the moment.
Okay, well, that's a fair enough answer. Again, the one reason, the one thing to use something like ThemeForest is that it's established. It has a crap ton of traffic, to put it mildly, and that it's pretty easy to just get on board and start selling things versus having to set up a domain, establish traffic, establish an identity, and start selling things on your own. So definitely... You know, at the very least, ThemeForest is a pretty good springboard to eventually maybe start selling things on your own.
Yeah, so, I mean, so if you do choose to become an author, let me know.
Well, I don't know.
Chance of that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's in my future, but the more I see those elite authors, the more I'm scratching my head wondering what it is I'm doing in life. So. Because I wouldn't mind building a home to house my family, let me tell you. It'd be
you need to hire a developer to work for you and do it.
That's right. So with that, before we let you guys go, because I know you're busy, it's lunchtime there in the Outback. Marcus, do you have any further follow-up questions before we let these guys go?
None specifically as far as questions, but it's nice to have a place where you can go to, you know, look, Theme Forest saves me a boatload of work because it builds the foundation for me in which I can build the rest. And so I appreciate the fact that there are ratings. I appreciate the fact that comments and support tabs are right there, right up front. You don't have to buy the theme first, so you can look at the comments and see the frequency of response, how quickly somebody actually responds to specific questions and comments. And that's a very good barometer for me to see if this is a good theme in which to purchase, because if I need support, then I know that somebody's going to be responsive in that sense. So to me, it's a very valuable resource within the community, and I'm thrilled that you guys came on the show with us today, and it gave me a lot more insight as far as the inner workings of the company, how you guys evaluate things, how you're actually pursuing the advancement of technology within themes and some of the other different e-commerce platforms that you're using there at Envato. And I'm just thrilled that you guys came on. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us. And, you know, one of the things I think would be useful is if we can make this something that's regular, like maybe, you know, every couple months. I know that we, Jeff, you recently tweeted out, do you have any questions? It'd be great if we could just, you know, have a document online where people could have questions, and every couple months we come on and we talk about them. And we want to continue to be an active part of this community. Our goal is to expand the pie, you know, and that's with all the products we have, of course. But I'd say for many of us, WordPress has a very special place because, you know, it's changed our lives, not just the people who work here or just our authors, but like, for me personally, before I got to Envato, WordPress is how I kept the lights on, right? And that's probably some of your listeners can identify with.
And by the way, you guys have been doing sort of these Envato author spotlights, and which takes a look at is sort of a video series that interviews Envato market sellers, whether it's graphic design or a theme. I've really, really enjoyed that series because it's a lot of these people are in different countries all around the world, and let's be honest, Envato and the various marketplaces have opened up the door for them to prosper, you know, to have a successful business and to do well for themselves and at the same time enjoy what it is they're doing. I don't want that to get lost in the whole debates on whether, you know, Theme Forest themes are crap or not. I mean, Theme Forest and Envato itself has really allowed a lot of people to enjoy what it is they do for a living and make a living doing it, and sometimes a comfortable living. So, I mean, Envato has to be praised for that.
Yeah, I think it's actually a pretty good place to work. It's a pretty cool company. It's got really good values, and it lives by those values. And a lot of people in the WordPress community just don't see that side of things at all. It's quite interesting to see one side that look evil and Bardo sort of thing, and the other, but it's really actually a very cool company.
Well, you know, maybe it'd help if you guys were, you know, if Australia was a way down over here, just in this part of the water ocean over here, you know, that might help. but anyways, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, guys, for coming on the show. Will, where can we find you at online, and how can we follow you and what you're doing at Envato?
The best place to reach me is Twitter. It's simple, at William Herring, H-E-R-R-I-N-G. You can just contact me there, send me any questions you may have, and yeah, I'll respond as quickly as I can.
And Stephen, how about yourself?
Yeah, I'm the same. Twitter's probably the best place to grab me these days. Stephen Cronin, it's a PH. And feel free to hit me up on Twitter for any questions you've got. I'm always happy to chat there.
I know an excellent way to get a hold of Stephen Cronin. Write an article about Envato on WPTavern.com.
we don't all have that pull. So
which I got to say, Envato, boy, every time we write about you guys, boom, traffic spike. It's I think it's a mutual beneficial relationship we have here. But it would be cool if like Envato did something like a Ask Me Anything, some sort of thing like that. That way authors or marketplace or maybe an Ask Me Anything for ThemeForest or an Ask Me Anything for Graphic River, you guys could do something like that, but for different marketplaces. That'd probably be really cool to get you even more community outreach.
Sure, that sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, so with that, gentlemen, enjoy your lunch, enjoy the Outback, and thanks again for coming on the show and give my listeners a little insight into both Envato and ThemeForest.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Awesome. So, Marcus, with that, boy, you know, I'm so glad that we finally had a chance to bring on some representatives from Envato on the show because, I wanted to have our listeners sort of get some more information from the inside on what it's like over there, what that marketplace is doing for WordPress overall, and B, ask some of the tough questions regarding theme quality and standards and what's going on to improve that over there in that theme marketplace. Because as I said, ThemeForest has become a very important springboard to new WordPress users into the WordPress ecosystem. And as we've already talked about, if they have a bad experience with a ThemeForest product, chances are it looks bad on WordPress overall. And we just can't have that if WordPress is going to expand its market share.
That, and I don't see, and I have never really seen Envato as this evil empire or anything like that. You know, you're going to have bad user experience anywhere you go, even in the repository with plugins that come out. So it's nice to know that you know we've got some great guys like Steven and Will that are on the case, are looking out for the WordPress user and users of other platforms as well to make sure that they have a good experience all around.
Exactly. So we're already in an hour into the show. So I want to cover just a couple of news topics because they're important before we get to the. We got so much to cover. We're already an hour into the show. But so the first thing I'll talk about is that WordPress 4.2 Beta 1 is officially available for testers to download and try out. Some of the things you might want to test is the Shiny Upgrades function so that when you go to install a plugin, if you just click the Install button, instead of being taken to a page where you see the different status symbols going on, it will just stay on that page. You'll see a little spinning circle, and within a few seconds, you'll see installed. It's actually pretty cool. So that's one thing you can try out and test. Of course, there's support for emoji now. Yay! Everybody wants emoji support. So there's that, and there's a couple of other things as well, such as the customizer theme switcher, which at one point is one of the more controversial additions to this release. We'll have to see. I haven't tested it, so I'm not sure exactly what it does, but we'll keep tabs on it. So definitely, if you have a chance to test out WordPress 4.2, go ahead and give it a shot. There's been a few additional security releases for plugins this week. One of them is Pods. If you run the Pods plugin, recently fixed a severe vulnerability. Mm-hmm. So if you're using the Pods plugin, definitely update to the latest edition to be protected from this vulnerability. And in fact, speaking of vulnerabilities, last week we had talked about WordPress SEO and an SQL injection vulnerability being discovered in that plugin. And since that time, several other plugins have released updates due to SQL injection type vulnerabilities. Now, the one thing I wanted to talk about here is that when I read about a plugin having an SQL injection vulnerability, I raise my eyebrows and I start to freak out. I mean, who wouldn't? Isn't that what we're trained to do as end users?
But definitely.
In reality, there's various types of SQL injections, and sometimes you have to be an admin to take advantage of it. Sometimes you could do it as an author or a lower privileged user. So there's different varying degrees. But I don't really quite understand how, as a writer, am I supposed to address the severity of an SQL injection vulnerability to to readers who want to know if this is an important upgrade or not? I mean, if it's a security vulnerability, if it's an upgrade, it's important. You have to upgrade. I mean, that's just all there is to it. But I wanted to also point out that not all SQL injection vulnerabilities are the same.
No, definitely not. But as you said, if there is any whiff of any sort of security vulnerability within any plugin and the author puts out an update, update it.
And so Tiny Repo is launching a WordPress plugin recommendation service. Now, there's a particular reason why I've added this story to the lineup. And Tiny Repo is a website that's been pumping out WordPress plugin reviews since 2013. And the co-owners, Jay Hoffman and Jack McConnell, are branching out to launch a new service that helps customers find a plugin for a $35 fee, and for an additional $50, they will install it and configure it to your liking on your WordPress site. Now, the first comment on this article, which was published on the Tavern, was from Joan Beluda, and I quote, "I always thought Marcus was going to be the first one to launch a service like that," end quote. Now, Marcus, your comments, please.
I will help anybody find a plugin for free on Twitter. Just find me.
Well, there you have it there. So it already exists. You just got to ask them. So I'm not sure if this thing is going to take off or not. We've been surprised before in the WordPress community. But kudos to them for experimenting and for trying it out. Of course, that's the only way you're going to find out if there's a market for it.
Yeah, they've got a great site, by the way. It's laid out very nicely. It's categorized very nicely. So I'm not going to knock these guys. I mean, hey, there's plenty to go around for everybody. I just don't know what the need is for it yet. I mean, I would love to talk to these guys maybe 6 months down the road to see what their success rate has been in that $35 fee of installation and discovery. And by the way, that $50, I think they charge is on top of the $35. So it's $85 bucks to find and install a plugin for you. So, hey, look, my other show is specifically dedicated to suggesting WordPress plugins, and you get 6 new ones every single week. So I don't know if there's a market for that. If there is, I should start charging for the podcast. But it's something that, I guess unless someone tries it, you'll never know. So I congratulate them on their wanting to popularize and publicize specific plugins. I think that's commendable. There's nothing wrong with that.
I want to see these gentlemen succeed because I want to record a live video of you doing a facepalm over and over again.
No, never going to happen. Never going to happen.
Oh, boy, that'd be something else. So our last story this week is that Jetpack 3.4 was released earlier today, and this is a big release because it adds the Brute Protect service as a module into Jetpack. So this finalizes the acquisition of Brute Protect, which happened last year when Automattic acquired them. And so the Brute Protect service is a brute force login protection service that will automatically block IPs from doing malicious login attempts on your website. So if you install Jetpack 3.4 and you visit the modules, the settings area, there's a module called Protect. Turn that on, and you'll be able to take advantage of the service. Now, I have been notified of a particular support thread for Jetpack 3.4, and it looks like quite a few people are having some issues with fatal errors after upgrade, dealing with specific functions or line calls that are not being found. I can say that after upgrading the Tavern site today, we did encounter some issues. I had to re-authenticate with WordPress.com. I had to re-authenticate Jetpack with WordPress.com in order to get it to work. I also experienced an issue with the dev site where after I installed it, it gave me a fatal error saying it couldn't find a specific line so-and-so in the file. So I think there's a couple of issues, and tomorrow there will probably be an immediate upgrade, a patch to fix those issues. So if running Jetpack, definitely keep an eye out, especially if you've already upgraded to 3.4. But what's awesome about this version is now Brute Force Login Protection is a click away. There are millions of sites out there probably that use Jetpack. And as Marcus and I have discussed before, as we had Sam Hashkis, the founder of Brew Protect, on the show before. It's just awesome to know that so many websites out there, with a click of a button, enabling the module, not only protects those websites, but in the mesh network side of things, a lot of other websites are being protected as well from this brute force login attempts.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I remember specifically Sam getting very enthused as far as when this was going to be bundled in with Jetpack, and I'm glad that that day has finally come.
Indeed it has. So without further ado, before we get into Marcus's plugin picks of the week, which I've been told for some is the highlight of the show. Yay, thanks a lot. but I wanted to give a quick shout out to those who organized WordCamp St. Louis, which I attended this past weekend. That was a fantastic event. The organizers did a great job. I found out that St. Louis definitely has great barbecue. Yeah. And there's a place out there called City Museum, which is like Discovery Zone, Chuck E. Cheese, and throw in a bunch of other stuff together. But this place was awesome. I mean, if you have a kid, especially one that likes to climb around on things, City Museum is a fantastic place. And in fact, it's perfect for adults too. Unfortunately, I didn't have the energy in the evening to really climb around on things, but just a really, really cool place. If you're ever in St. Louis, definitely check out the City Museum. I had a chance to participate on a podcasting panel on Saturday, and I was stoked when people came up to me after the session and said, that was awesome. So I'm glad they really enjoyed the information I, Pippin, and Chris Miller had to give. And that was just a really cool experience. And Marcus, I ran into about 6 or 7 different listeners of the show that had nothing but good things to say. Yeah, they said they enjoyed our chemistry, and I said, yeah. I said, having a great co-host with chemistry makes a world of difference when you're doing a podcast. And a number of them said they really look forward to your plug-in picks of the week. So nice. I just wanted to throw that out there to you.
Well, I appreciate everyone who came up to you to say that. And before we get into the plug-in picks of the week, I do want to acknowledge one iTunes review that we've gotten this week. And this one means a lot to me because this comes from Bob Dunn, also known as Bob WP. He didn't ask for a link, but I'm going to put it in there anyway. So you can go to bobwp.com for that, and I'm going to put that in the show notes too. He gave us 5 stars, and his title was one of my favorites. The content is, there are a few WordPress podcasts that I make a point to listen to, and this is one of them. Jeff and Marcus bring a unique touch and perspective to each episode. I highly recommend it. So I really appreciate Bob taking the time. And again, he's one of the big community enthusiasts and evangelists out there, and he's a great instructional resource. And that really means a lot that Bob would take the time to do that. So I appreciate that.
You know what that means? We got to get Bob on the show. I don't think I've had Bob on the show. We got to get him on and get him to tell us what the common pain points are for clients and new users of WordPress.
I'd love to have Bob on. I've spoken to him at least once on Skype and a few interactions back and forth on Twitter, but I think he would make an excellent guest.
So with that, let's wrap this puppy up in a beautiful wrapping paper with a bow on top and give us your plug-in picks of the week.
You got it. Well, the first one on deck here is called Text to Speech. So if you like hearing robots read your blog post, you're in luck, because this is a short code plugin that allows you to automatically transform any text between the short code into an HTML5 MP3 player, where Google Voice will actually read out your text aloud. It supports multiple languages, which I'd like to try that, autoplay, and it even lets you download the MP3 right into your WP content folder. So it's not like it's trying to do this on the fly every single time. So your translation requests will be few and far between. In fact, I think you only have to do it once. So that's a pretty cool innovation called Text to Speech. Next one is called Equal Height Columns. Now, all columns are not created the same. One of the cool things about WordPress is the ability to easily place different items into your columns. But the drawback to this, however, is that they're often varying lengths. So if you have one post that's maybe a few words longer in the excerpt than the other ones, it creates kind of this uneven height viewing experience. And this plugin takes care of that by equalizing the height of all the columns to a uniform fixed length. So it's a nice plugin because it also works on all mobile devices. It's fully responsive, and it keeps track of all those short or dangling columns and makes them all the same height. Equal Height Columns is the name of that. And finally, we've got one called Latest Video, and this plugin actually scans your posts, and it looks for the newest video that is posted to your site. It looks for these iframed video contents, no matter what provider you use, whether that's Vimeo, YouTube, or any other source. It actually displays it right on the sidebar as latest video, and then it also has the option within a checkbox in your widgets to include a link to the post or even the category that the post appeared in. So that's called Latest Video, and those are my plugin picks of the week.
That's actually a pretty cool plugin because I've always, you know, I've seen so many themes, especially within the past few years, where like the magazine layouts, usually they'll have a widget dedicated to a video. Mm-hmm. And to have to go in there and manually change the embed code to change the video out all the time is probably something I'd likely forget most of the time, so the same video would stay there all the time. But to have something that would automatically show the latest video or the latest embed and in a widget automatically, plus a link to the post, that's a pretty cool little plugin there.
It is indeed, and that's the thing, is on the sidebar widget, it's actually the video, so they can just hit play and watch it, so they don't have to necessarily go to the post itself, and that's nice. That's really nice that they put the player right there.
So with all that said, Marcus, do we have a, I don't know, do we have a guest lined up for March 25th? I know we have one for April 1st.
None that I am aware of. Maybe we'll jingle Bob's chain and see if he can come on.
All right, well, I'll give Bob a ring and we'll see what happens since he's on the West Coast. He should be finishing up dessert if he comes on the show. So with that said, awesome. That's going to do it for this edition of WordPress Weekly. Oh, by the way, at this point in the show, I want to say that I'm doing back-to-back WordCamp, so I will be at WordCamp Dayton this weekend participating on a panel. So if you happen to see me, please stop and say hi. I would love to talk to you and find out what you like and what you don't like about the show. Always enjoy doing that, so just wanted to do a shout-out there. But this is going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly, and you can find show notes on wptavern.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JeffFR0, and Marcus.
You can find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and also on Twitter, at MarcusCouch.
Awesome. So everybody have the enjoyable rest of the week. Hey, tomorrow's Thursday, meaning it's after hump day, so I'm looking forward to it. And I'll talk to you again next Wednesday evening.